Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how he's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh, this first 2016 edition of Word Made Flesh. So how are we feeling in the new year?
Good.
Very good, man. Happy New Year.
Oh, still catching up on the ball, aren't we?
What a great juice.
Gentlemen, our study as we are breaking into the new year was really during the Advent, taking a look at some of the implications of the infancy narratives that we find in Matthew and Luke as you speak about the birth of Jesus. Today I really want you to consider the significant imperative in the two allegiances. Now, what I mean by that is we have learned, looking at a lot of the historical factors that were part of the contributions to the infancy narratives, specifically within the political nature. The thing about the infancy narratives is they have a political and a personal component. I think most of us are somewhat familiar with the personal. It's a nice little baby Jesus born, you know, God so loved the world. Little baby Jesus, you know, had a purpose here so that through little baby Jesus, my sins can be forgiven and Pastor Steve's fanny can find it in heaven. That's pretty personal. That's about me. That's what Jesus did for me. All right. For our listening audience, our gentlemen around the room seem to be nodding their heads in agreement. So I'm going to presume, gentlemen, that you two recognize the personal nature.
Yeah.
All right. So I didn't really have to teach you that, did I?
No.
Right. So we spent a significant time looking at the political component because these are, as we said, parabolic overtures that have a political as well as a personal. What are some of the things that we learned out of the political component of the infancy narratives?
Well, a lot of things he said, you know, Caesar was Lord, and so they called, you know, Jesus was Lord. You know, a lot of things are put on Jesus the same as already been put on those in power.
Okay, all right. So the titles that are ascribed to Jesus are titles that were previously used to identify the Roman emperor. So those titles are not exclusive to Jesus.
No.
Okay. All right. Now, how does that make that political? Just because the titles went to some government authority?
Well, they use the titles to rule and keep people in line, so to speak, and set laws, and you have to follow these laws now because our Savior, Caesar, has said so. Instead of where Jesus would say, oh, we have not necessarily laws, but guidelines, and it's a better way. If you do it the right way, you'll be fine. There's not no, well, if you don't do this, we're going to take you out back and chop your head off, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, because politics ultimately has a lot to do with power.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So the mere fact that, we discovered, the mere fact that in the infancy narratives when they place these titles that they're well aware of have been given to Caesar, and they start placing them on Jesus, what do you think Caesar thinks about that?
Not real happy.
Okay.
So,
it creates some tension. That might very well be why we have really shifted in our thinking, in our theology, in our understanding of the biblical narratives to strictly a personal. And why we emphasize in this study the political, because when it comes to personal and political, we need to determine why we choose a certain allegiance. That prior going on to the air, I kind of challenged you on, so what's really the difference? What Matthew and Luke would recognize is there's a reason we say Jesus is Savior. There's no difference in the sense that Caesar's Savior, so is Jesus. There's no difference in Jesus' day and age when Matthew and Luke are writing about him that he's Son of God, well, so is Caesar. He's Lord of Lords, so is Caesar. He's King of Kings, so is Caesar. Right?
Jesus.
So what does it mean when we make our allegiance to Jesus?
Well, to me, when you know, it's more about community with Jesus, I think, that everybody gets taken care of, you know, whereas the opposite is you got the greedy ones that want more, you know, and don't get enough, don't want to share it, you know.
Okay. All right. You were going to say something, young man?
You saying the differences between them. Jesus believed there was, I don't know how to say it, peace is established through justice, and Caesar through war, or, you know, victory in a way.
Yeah, I think you're getting pretty close. Back in 9 BC, probably a good three to five years before Jesus was born, after Augustus has really solidified himself, there's a letter written about him, in which it's interesting they use egulion, they use words like irene, they use words like sozo. Now those are nice Greek words, which means things like good tidings, good news, a good message, gospel. Caesar being savior of the world. Well, when we read in Luke, what does the angel say to the shepherds? Remember Charlie Brown Christmas? Come on, John. He says, right? Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you egulion, right, good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Same language. Now, when Luke writes this, it's around, geez, oh Pete, we're talking like 85. So this is probably 100 years or so after that was written about Caesar. Right? And this is being applied to the little baby Jesus. And when you skip on down, the angels, the heavenly host, start singing glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace. Right? Irene. It's the same peace. So there's a lot of the Romans who would have looked at Caesar as being the Messiah, who bring the Savior, who brings peace. And what you're talking about is the methodology in which he brings peace. The peace that Rome brings, the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, is peace through victory. And when we looked at the imperial theology, there's a religion. You're right. Obviously, they're using the same titles that Christians are using for Jesus. They must have been a religious people. That endorses war. That war brings violence, and through violence we get victory. Would you say that that's the same theology that we have with Jesus?
No.
Now, we ended up our last study looking at what's really the major difference. It's really about this peace. The angel says, I've brought you good news about the peace of Jesus the Christ. All right. We looked at Zechariah with Elizabeth. You know, my eyes have seen your salvation. Your people will live in peace. Simeon says, look at, I've seen your salvation. It has brought me peace. I can now die in peace. The book of Acts, it's interesting, talks about the good news of peace in Christ Jesus. And then later when we have Paul in front of the Romans, it's interesting how Luke puts on the lips of one of the Romans there that, you know, surely Rome has prevailed in peace. Paul will talk about through Jesus, he is our peace in God. Which means, gentlemen, if we're going to say that Jesus is Savior, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is King, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God, much like Romans used to say that about Caesar, right? Then where is your allegiance? What does that look like? Is it merely us saying, well, we're right and they're wrong? Because if I say Rome is wrong based on their imperial theology, that peace through victory, and yet I go out seeking peace through victory, I look a lot like Rome. So that may be one of the ways we need to live. It's just not about being looking like the image, but living in the image. And so when they looked at Jesus as he grew up, they would say, that looks a lot like the image. And he becomes an image bearer. And part of that image bearer is willing to go to the others, standing alongside of those who are systemically oppressed. These are little acts of justice, which kind of fulfills what Micah talks about.
Caring for nature.
All of creation. Right? So that eventually all of creation starts bearing the image. And so if we're going to pledge our allegiance to Jesus as God, Son of God, Messiah, Christ, Savior, King, Lord, all those things, we're going to, then the way we do that is we become those image bearers that help establish the peace that the angels spoke to the angels. The peace that Zechariah embraced and recognized in Simeon. The peace that Paul understood. Closing thoughts, gentlemen.
So we're just on the path. I'm on the path to become truly human like Jesus was. That's where my beliefs lie. It's totally different than the ways I used to think. It's refreshing today to think a different way, do things a different way, have love and compassion for people. It's definitely unique for me at this stage of my game here at the mission. But it's good.
Well, that's precisely, you know, what we mean when we talk about repentance and conversion. Right? Repentance isn't just about saying I'm sorry for, you know, some sin I committed. All right? Repentance, biblically speaking, means I will no longer sing a different song. I will no longer be disconnected. I am going to move myself to be fully connected. And in doing so, we actually become what we were created to be, truly human. And the truly human ones look a lot like Jesus because we start looking like the image we were created in. That's what repentance. Repentance is aligning ourselves with the will of God. And in doing that, our lives start looking different, and we call that a conversion. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your participation on this first edition of Word Made Flesh for the year 2016. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019. Until next week, may God's grace and peace be yours.